It's a great joy and honor to be with you today, and I have the privilege of working with international students from all over the world, and I have two co-workers that are with me today. One is Tuyada from Mongolia. You might not know a lot about Mongolia, but up until the 1990s, it was a relatively closed country, and the first generation of Christians really was born in the 1990s. And one of those first-generation Christians from Mongolia is my co-worker, Tuyada. And I wanted to just give you a little taste of the joy it is of working with people from other countries by having Tuyada come and sing something in her own language. So, Tuyada, can you come?
You know, this morning I was sitting there and I was a little bit nervous about it because, new place, just meeting new people. And there is something inside of me is like not ready, kind of, you know, and just singing the worship together and then just telling God how I feel. And I felt like, wow, yeah, we have the same Father. I don't have to be afraid of sharing and just standing in front of you because I felt family, even though we different locations, but we are a family of God, you know, the Father. So now I feel much better. very quick. I from Mongolian. I don't know if you ever heard about some Mongolian talking in Mongolian, but it's definitely a little bit hard language, and the singing can be a little bit challenging, but it's actually better than some other languages, which, praise the Lord. So, because of the taste the heaven, because when we meet the Father in heaven, we will sing multiple languages. And definitely sometimes, and a good thing is America is actually that creates that platform that a lot of nations come to America and you hear a lot of different, you know, languages, but definitely, I believe you never heard about Mongolian. So so that's the said. I was thinking maybe I should choose a song that you could also participate and practice your Mongolian when when we all meet together in heaven, able to sing in Mongolian. So this is the only one line. It says, I have the Savior who gives eternal life. So you just keep repeating this. And then the melody changes, but it's a beautiful song, okay? So it says, Nadat. You can repeat after me. Nadat. Munghing. Emte. Aurach. Bi. Good, that's it. So, so let's do it all together, okay? Nadat munghing emte. Aurach bi. Good. Okay. So I think you can do so well, you know. So the melody goes like this. Nadat munghing emte avrach bi. 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 I think I can hear the melody there. Let's sing together. Nadat munghing emte avrach bi. Avrach bi. Nadat munghing emte. Nadat munghing emte avrach bi. Avrach bi. Nadat munghing emte avrach bi. Nadat munghing emte avrach bi. If I close my eyes and just to hear, I feel like I might be in Mongolian church, you know. So you're doing so well. And quick thing is, actually I'm very happy, especially last 2 days I've been helping. One Mongolian student just got in Columbus to study at OSU, And I've been having a heart to serve my people for so many years since I'm the first generation. And I've been thinking, like, Columbus, it's only like eight of us, you know, before, now eight, but before it was four or five. And I've been thinking, asking God, like, I'm in Columbus, away from Mongolians, what would I do? You know, I want to serve Mongolians back because people invested in me to serve my nation, you know. So this student came, and I was so happy. I met him, and then from 8 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, I've been helping him looking for the housing in Columbus because he had only two suitcases, and his place that he actually signed up online was a very bad place. He didn't know anything about it, and he's just straight from Mongolia, and he didn't have any furniture or anything. And I was just there able to help him because IFI taught me and trained me, equipped me to get out of my comfort zone and just to have, just not to think about myself in America, but able to think about international students in the United States, you know, especially at Ohio State campus. I felt God has really trained me, and now he broke the walls between me and another Mongolian who just came. And I was so happy to be able to help the student and finding furniture and then carrying the furniture and even dishes and utensils, looking for that and asking friends to, you know, help us. It was a joy to serve. And I hope you will be encouraged by Rich when he shares about his excitement and passion for international students. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you. Today we're going to be talking about hospitality and the Great Commission, and this is found in Hebrews 13:2. So let's look at that text together. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Version. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Let me tell you some stories to begin. This is a picture of my friend Tayu on the left here, who came to study at The Ohio State University as a PhD student in education. She came from Taiwan. She arrived at the airport, and she was greeted by a Christian family who welcomed her into their home for her first 4 days in the United States. Tayu came from a very strong Buddhist background. In fact, she had studied Buddhist philosophy in her country as her major, so she was not really very open or interested in Christianity. But when this family brought her home, they did what was customary as they sat down for their meal. They joined hands around the table, and the father and the family began to pray. Not only did he thank God for the food, but he began to pray for Tayu. He began to ask that God would help her in her adjustment to the United States, that she would make new friends, that she would be able to be successful in her studies. They prayed for her family back at home. And as that man was praying around the table, that first meal, Tayu shared that she had never heard anyone pray to God like that. And that as he prayed, something began to happen in her heart. And she thought to herself, I don't know who this God is that he's praying to, but I would like to know more. And so through those 4 days, she experienced the love of Christ through that family. And after those 4 days, she joined a Bible study group to learn more about this God who they prayed to. And it only took several months, if you consider from her background, that's a short amount of time, for her to come to the place of placing her faith in Jesus Christ. Tayu went on to be discipled, and now she's serving the Lord. Even though she got a PhD in education, she felt like the Lord wanted her to serve in a way of helping to further the gospel in China. So she's serving in a full-time ministry with literature. And then this man in the middle is named Abdul. Abdul came to study for his PhD at a time when his country was in turmoil, as it still is. And he came from Afghanistan. And having lived in Afghanistan, where 99% of the people are Muslim, 99.9%, if you study the history of Afghanistan, there's no open church in Afghanistan. There was one attempt to form a church in Afghanistan that was for expatriates, for non-Afghan people, but the government then bulldozed the church and destroyed the church, and they took the bulldozers and dug underneath the ground because they said, we heard there's an underground church here and we want to find the church that's under the ground. True story. That is the background that Abdul came from, having never met an Afghan Christian in his life. Many Afghans, the few Afghans who have become Christians, many of them have been martyred. And so he came to study in the United States, and he experienced what many internationals experience when they leave their culture and come here, which is loneliness. He left his family back at home. He was married and had children, but they were back at home. And every day he would go to the university. He would study, and he'd come home to his apartment alone. In his country, he never cooked for himself as an Afghan man. His wife always cooked, so he found himself cooking for the first time. He wasn't a very good cook. So he was not very happy. Until one day, a family learned about him through our organization and invited him to dinner. Now, they did what we normally do not advise, which is to connect a meal to attending church. Because coming from a Muslim background, most Muslims are not too open to going to church. But they said to him, listen, we'd love to have you for lunch, but we go to church on Sunday morning. Would you come with us to church and then come to lunch afterwards? And Abdul said he had a debate inside of him. I don't want to go to church, but I want lunch. but he said, I want lunch so much, I'll go to church. So he went to church, and then he went home with them for lunch. And it wasn't just a quick American lunch. They spent the whole afternoon together. They shared stories and pictures, and Abdul said it was the best day of his life in the United States. And so when they said, would you like to do this again next week? He said, I'll go to church every week if it means if it means going to lunch at your house. So that was what happened. Every week they would go to church and then spend lunch and afternoon together. And gradually Abdul began to listen to the pastor. And he heard things that he had never heard before about Jesus Christ. And God began to work in his heart, in his life. And seeing the love of this family, and seeing the way the husband and wife loved each other, seeing the children in that family, and hearing the message of the Word of God, Abdul's heart was drawn toward Jesus Christ. And so he could not resist the Savior's love, and Abdul became a follower of Christ. Now the thing was, before Abdul came to the United States, he was one of the top translators in his country. So after becoming a Christian, he wanted to read the Bible in his own language. But the Bible that was translated into his language, which is Dari, was quite rough because it had been translated by someone whose Dari was their second language. And so Abdul then undertook the project to retranslate the New Testament into his language, which he completed. And he also began to make tape broadcasts for the Far East Broadcasting Company to broadcast the gospel message into Afghanistan. In both of these cases that I shared with you, hospitality was the key that opened the door for them to hear the gospel. Hospitality was the means by which they experienced the love of Christ and through which the gospel could be shared. And so today I want to share with you how hospitality is one of the keys that God has given to us to reach the nations today. You know, the scripture, I'm going to pass that story. This is the scripture again that we read here. And it starts out by telling us, don't forget to show hospitality, which tells me that there is a tendency that we would have to forget this. This is something that isn't necessarily mainstream in our thinking as we think about following Christ. But as we're going to see today, this is something that God wants to have as part of our lives. Now, you noticed in the text, it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality is linked with strangers, even as you heard the text read today from Deuteronomy earlier in the service. Strangers are those people who've moved from one culture to another. Strangers are not people who look strange or people who live down the block from us who we don't know. They could be if they're from another culture. There's a very specific meaning to strangers. There are four Hebrew words for strangers that are translated in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. And they all refer to people moving from one culture to another. And then the text that we read here in Hebrews 13:2, the word xenos is the word that's used, which means stranger. It is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word. Now, Jesus did broaden the understanding of stranger to anyone who's marginalized, not just to people who move from one culture to another, but it's included in that meaning as well. Here are the English words that we translate these Hebrew in Greek words. In the depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, it may be translated as alien, foreigner, sojourner, and it, in some versions, I wish they would use the word international, because that would be a more contemporary usage. But these words, in their technical meaning, may refer to someone who's a temporary visitor, like someone who's passing through, a sojourner, or someone who is a permanent visitor or a permanent resident, like an alien or someone who's an immigrant. But the point is, someone has left their culture and they've come into another culture. And God is telling us as his people that these are those that he wants us to welcome. In the U.S. today, we know that we are becoming a multicultural society. There are 45 million immigrants in the United States today. There are 1.1 million international students and scholars currently studying in the United States. 13% of U.S. citizens are foreign-born people. So today, living in America, we cannot escape the fact that one of the things that God is doing is we are living in the age of the scatterings of people. There's a Greek word called diaspora, which means scatterings. You know, in the New Testament, after the Acts 2, when people became Christians and then there became a persecution, it says people were scattered. And the same thing is happening in the world today. People are being scattered because of economic reasons, because of wars, because of people seeking better opportunities. And the United States is one of the places where large numbers of these scattered people are coming. Now, this is part of God's plan. This is something we should recognize, that God is working through and working in order that his love for all peoples can be displayed. Let's talk about then what hospitality is. Biblical hospitality is opening our homes and hearts to the benefit and inclusion of strangers. Hospitality is offering who we are and what we have to serve people who are not native, who are foreign-born people. Now, the scripture tells us what hospitality looks like because it refers to this incident. For some who have welcomed strangers, for some who have done this, have entertained or angels without knowing it. So this is a reference to the story of Abraham in Genesis 18, where there's these three strangers that are going by, and Abraham sees them, and he leaps to his feet, and he goes to them and says, "Oh, if I have found favor in your sight, please come into my home. Let me get some water for your feet. Let me feed you something. Please come into my home." And so he warmly welcomes them. So this is the first part of hospitality, is having the heart of a welcome, the heart that is not afraid of other people. You know, one of the things we have to overcome in order to do hospitality is not to be afraid of people. Now, the reality is it's a lot more difficult for people who come to this country than it is for us who were born here. Difficult in the sense of people, when they first come, they don't know how things work all the time. They don't know always how to get something done. And if someone comes to your home, they're usually going to be more nervous about doing something wrong than you are. So we need to overcome any fears that we have. You know, Abraham, when he leapt to his feet, he didn't know who those three guys were, but he had a recognition. They must be tired. It's something that would be benefiting them if they came into my home. And so he gives them that warm welcome. Let me ask you, do you have a heart that is ready to welcome internationals? You know, I'm impressed by this congregation. I know that you have an ESL program here that welcomes 40 people on the average each week. I know that there, as it was mentioned, one of your pastoral staff is working to welcome Muslims. You are doing well already in extending yourself, but I understand that there's maybe 10 or 12 volunteers in the ESL program, which means there's a lot more of you that can be engaged personally with internationals. Some of you come from are internationals yourself. You are gifts to this congregation. You are able to contribute something in helping the rest of the congregation to appreciate God's unique design and the ways that God has created culture differently in order that we might praise him in every way. But that's the first aspect, a warm welcome. Secondly, his hospitality involves sharing food and drink together. Abraham said, "Come into my home and have something to eat." And then he told his wife to prepare the meal.
He didn't ask Sarah about that. I wondered how she felt. But there were some servants, too. There were some servants, and, you know, they actually went out and slaughtered the animal, and then they prepared it. This was not like a fast food dinner that he gave them. It took some time, which is, again, one of the biggest challenges to the practice of hospitality is time. I know that this is why a number of us as Americans find it difficult to welcome people into our homes. One is fear. Second is busyness. You know, the reality is we all have to eat. Now, the reality is a lot of us don't eat very well. What I mean by that is the average American meal lasts 15 minutes. The average American family eats together three times a week. We know that fast food is a staple of most Americans eating. So if we practice hospitality, God is going to slow us down a little bit. You know, that family I mentioned, when they invited Abdul home, you know, they spent the afternoon together. Some of us say, oh man, when was the last time I spent an afternoon with someone after a meal? Well, this might be something that you could try if you haven't been doing it recently. It's really enjoyable to just spend your time focused on conversation. You don't have to do any particular activities. You don't have to have a lot of things to do. Just having someone with you. Now, in fact, if you want to do something together, let's say your afternoon on a Sunday is spent doing gardening. If you could have someone alongside of you when you're gardening, you probably would appreciate someone helping you to pull weeds with you. Now, don't use this as an opportunity to weed your garden. I'm just saying that that whatever you're doing, you can involve someone with you. Let's say you were going to go out and do some shopping together. If you were doing hospitality after you ate, whatever you would do together. But the most important activity is just talking. The fact is that in most countries, having those types of conversations where someone is actually interested in their lives. You know, most international students are asked three questions repeatedly in their life. Where did you come from? What are you studying? And when are you going home? That's it. I had a friend who used to say, if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me those three questions, I'd be a rich man. But people don't get past those three questions. So we need to go past that to learn about their families and what are the hopes and dreams that are in their heart and what is their, you know, purpose in life and getting down to the deeper levels. And that takes some time. And in conversations, that can take place. Now, interestingly, you know, sharing from the heart in these conversations, that was a third part. Interestingly, in the story of Abraham, in some cultures, the very significant conversation occurs while you're eating. In other cultures, it occurs after you're done eating. And I don't think you need to study all the cultures, but in Abraham's culture, a lot of the conversation occurred after the meal. And interestingly, what happened is after Abraham was done eating, these three guests, which we learn is God's visitation among Abraham, God says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Shall I open my heart to Abraham and tell him what my plans are? And he does. He does two things for Abraham. One is he tells Abraham in specific, he says, by this time next year, the promise that I gave you of having a child is going to be fulfilled. Well, that was a significant thing to hear. And then the second thing was God says, let me tell you what's about to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. And why did God tell Abraham that? Because he was inviting Abraham to talk to him about that. And Abraham did talk to him about it and said, oh, Lord, if there are 100 righteous people in that city, will you destroy it? And, you know, they had that conversation where eventually, you know, as a result of that, Lot and his family was able to be saved from the city. But this is what hospitality is. Can you do these things? Could you welcome someone? Could you share some food and drink together? And could you share out of your heart? I believe you could do that because God has given us something. He's given us homes or apartments. You know, the most hospitable person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had no home. But he was constantly welcoming people. And Jesus had a way of providing food that was unique. And and Jesus did deep sharing from the heart. We can follow the example of our Savior. In fact, one of the interesting things about Jesus' life is that if you read through the book of Luke, the pattern of Jesus' ministry was around meals. many of the significant conversations and things that Jesus taught occurred around meals. You see Jesus in the home of Pharisees having conversations. You see Jesus at the home of Martha and Mary. You see Jesus in the breaking of the bread after the Emmaus Road walk where he reveals himself. Jesus was a guy who loved to eat with people. And so it is with our international friends. And if we follow the pattern of Jesus, we will invite them to eat with us. Now, the practice of biblical hospitality is normative for God's people. Normative means it's normal. It's the thing that should be a part of all of our lives. Now, I know some people are really gifted. Some people are quite extroverted. They're quite natural. Some people are good cooks. You know, some people have some of these added things that maybe makes it a little bit easier for them to do hospitality. But in the same thing, some people are gifted evangelists. Do we say, okay, they do all the evangelism then? No. We say all of us are to share the good news. And, you know, we can learn from those people who are evangelists. They should train us how to do it. So people who are good at hospitality, they should be training other people. But all of God's people are to practice this. Now, we can see this in texts like Romans 12:13. It says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Now, this balance that we see in this text, I didn't read to you Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1 said, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. So that deep fellowship we're to have with one another. You know, the potlucks we eat together and the times we have social gatherings and if you have home fellowships. This is what God says. Develop deep relationships with another. But then verse 2, don't forget to show hospitality. Here, share with God's people, practice hospitality. So we are to have this balance in our lives. Not just deep fellowship in the church, but continuing to welcome strangers. And Romans chapter 12 is a great summary of Christian living. It gets into the practice of how do we follow Jesus. One of the marks of following Jesus is to be hospitable. We can see in 1 Peter 4:8-9, the same balance. Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, first we're told not to forget. Now we're told not to grumble. I think God is onto something here, don't you think? He's like addressing the challenges that we have, that we're so busy that we forget to do it, and we feel like it's a burden to us sometimes. We grumble because, oh, do I really have to do it? Listen, we in some countries, you cannot refuse when someone comes to visit you. In one of the countries that I visited, relatives can show up and stay in your home for 4 months. Now, they do some grumbling. But God says, no, don't grumble. Welcome them. All right. Here's from the Old Testament. It says in Leviticus 19:33-34, and a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. One of the marks of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament is this practice of hospitality. It's one of the ways that God is revealing himself as the host of heaven. It's one of the ways that his invitation to come into heaven is being revealed through his people. And so that's why it's normative for God's people. I already mentioned this one about the fact that this is the pattern of Jesus' ministry was to be hospitable. Now, the practice of biblical hospitality opens the door for those who are traditionally without access to the gospel. The majority of international students coming to the United States to study are from the least evangelized nations of the world. I mentioned Abdul. Taiwan is not one of the least evangelized nations, but still only 5% of the population is Christian. There's something called the 1040 window. The 1040 window is where the most restrictions are placed for sharing the gospel. It's where you cannot easily go. For example, right now in the United States today, there are 80,000 Saudi Arabian students. Now, if you wanted to go to Saudi Arabia to share the gospel, you could not go as a missionary. Now, you might be able to get a work permit, but even if you got a work permit, the regulations are so restricted in Saudi Arabia, you are so easily kicked out of the country or put in prison that is very challenging. 80,000 Saudi Arabian students here. And you know, the Saudi Arabians who come, their number one need is to practice English. And so they are constantly looking, where can I find Americans that I can spend time with? In Dayton, Ohio, here, there's a ministry of international friendships. You have met Gloria and Jerome, who are leading the ministry here. They have a wonderful opening among Saudi Arabian students. And they would love to find more people who would be conversational English partners, or even a lot of the Saudi Arabian students would like to stay for a semester in an American home. Now, that's a big commitment, but we don't necessarily say you have to do something like that to be hospitable, but that is something as well. So God is just opening the door to reach people, to love people who otherwise would have no opportunity to hear the gospel. This is one of the ways that the Great Commission in our day is going to be completed, is by showing biblical hospitality. You know, I just think, what is God saying to his church when he says, you know, for so long Saudi Arabia has been resistant to the gospel. For so long missionaries have been unable to go to Saudi Arabia. Let me send 80,000 Saudi Arabians to the United States. I hope each one of them will have a Christian friend. You know, the book of Acts is all about God's sending the gospel among the nations, starting in Jerusalem. And one of the significant things is that God writes stories of internationals in the book of Acts who are reached away from home, starting with the day of Pentecost on Acts 2, when God assembled all those people who were visiting Jerusalem, and then Peter stood up and preached the gospel. He's preaching to, you know, foreign visitors in Jerusalem. And many of those came to Christ, or some of those came to Christ. They were trained and then sent back out. And that's the vision of international student ministry, is that students come here, they hear the gospel, those who receive Christ are trained, and then they're scattered back out among the nations. What a great way God has designed for us. Instead of us learning another language, raising support, doing culture adjustment, getting a visa, and then going to other nations, which God still wants some of us to do. But what a great means that God has of blessing nations, of sending people here and then sending them back home. We see that in Acts chapter 8 with the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. If you remember that story, this guy came all the way from Ethiopia, all the way to Jerusalem, seeking God. And even though he's in Jerusalem, he doesn't hear the gospel. And then he's on his way home. He's still seeking God. He's in his chariot reading from Isaiah 53. And God sends Philip to go out into the desert and meet this man so that he could share the gospel with him. And then this man receives Christ. God takes Philip away and then sends the Ethiopian back to Ethiopia to share the gospel. What a great way that God has. Acts chapter 10, we have a story of Cornelius, a Roman soldier, away from Rome, stationed in Caesarea, and God gives him a vision and says, go call for Peter to come to your house to hear the good news. We have the story in Acts chapter 16 of a businesswoman named Lydia, who is from Asia Minor, Thyatira, stationed or living in Philippi, and God sends the Apostle Paul to meet her. And that's where the church began, in Philippi. And then we see in Acts 9, the story of an international student. Someone who left his home to study. And then after he was fully trained, doing his postdoctoral research, that he became a Christian. Who am I talking about? The Apostle Paul. He had a very bad thesis, by the way. But Paul left his home for the purpose of studying in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. And then God reached him there outside on the desert road, on the road to Damascus. So what I'm saying to you is God has consistently, through his word, given us the command to practice hospitality, to reach the nations through hospitality, and he's also showing us his design through the book of Acts of reaching people away from home. This is not something new, but what is new is the numbers that are coming and the nations that are coming. This is the day and age that God has given to us as the church in America, as to South Dayton Presbyterian Church, to impact the nations without going anywhere. Wow, what an opportunity. So I'm not going to go through all these stories I mentioned. And last thing I want to mention here is that the practice of biblical hospitality opens the door for God to bless our lives, for us to encounter God in a new way. You know, when God says in Hebrews 13:2, why should we practice hospitality? Is it because the stranger needs the welcome? It is because they are so lonely? Is it because they need the gospel? Yes, but that's not what he says in Hebrews 13:2. He says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without knowing it. In other words, God showed up in a special way for Abraham. He received the promise of God spoken to him again. And if we open our life up to the practice of a biblical hospitality, God is going to bless us in some amazing ways. You know, in the Bible, God specifically wrote the stories of hospitality with supernatural encounters, of God doing amazing things in people's lives when they do this. There's a story of a woman from Zarephath. She's down to her last meal. She feels her and her son are going to die. And God sends Elijah to her home and says, could you share your meal with me? And she says, well, this is my last meal. He says, trust God. She shares the meal, and what happens? If you remember the story, supernaturally, day after day, this provision of food for her. You know, don't we want to see supernatural work of God in our life? New provisions that God makes? If we practice hospitality, there's a possibility of that. Then there's the story of the Shunammite woman. By the way, I'm testing you in your Old Testament Bible knowledge here. The Shunammite woman was a woman who noticed the prophet Elisha was traveling a lot on his journeys, and she invited him into her home. And eventually she said to her husband, you know, let's make it more comfortable for this prophet. Let's build a little addition on our house. I hear you're building an addition on the church, so maybe this is the same idea. You're going to welcome strangers. Anyway, she built this little addition. So every time Elisha came, he would stay in their house. You know, two generations ago, when people had what we now call a spare bedroom, they used to call it the prophet's chamber. Any of you ever hear about that term? No, it's already passed away. Sorry. Anyway, it's now called the spare bedroom. But people specifically had the spare room in order so they could practice hospitality. Now, in that woman's life, she could not have a child. And as a result of her hospitality, Elisha prayed for this woman, and she conceived a child. It was a supernatural birth. And then that child ended up getting sick and dying. And then Elisha prayed, and the child was raised to life. I mean, talk about an encounter with God. So I just want to tell you, God wants to bless you. It's not just that internationals need to hear the gospel. They do. Not only do they need to experience home, do they experience family, they experience welcome. You need to experience God. So why wouldn't we want to practice biblical hospitality? Let us overcome the barriers. Let us make this a part of our lives. I know this church is serious about obeying God's word. This is God's word to you. Don't forget to show hospitality. Now, you did receive a passport. If you are not already involved in doing something with internationals, I wanted to make it easy for you. Passports are usually used when you go to another nation. But this passport is good for working with the 100 nations that God is sending to Dayton, Ohio. There's some opportunities on here that you could look at, which include some temporary housing when people first arrive, being a conversation partner. It could mean getting involved in the church's ESL program here. It could mean helping to find furniture for international students. It could mean bringing food to a potluck when there's a welcome party for the new students. There's lots of opportunities. I'm asking you to consider one thing that you could do. I believe everybody could do one thing. Maybe the only thing you could do is you say, I can just prepare some food and share it. Okay. Maybe you have the house, but you can't cook. Maybe the two of you need to get together. You know, maybe you're a small group in the church, a Sunday school group or a home group, and you could say, well, maybe together we could do this. Listen, God is giving you an opportunity today. Will you respond? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your creative love and for the way that you love strangers and for the way that you're sending multitudes, thousands of international students, even to Dayton, Ohio. And I pray this church, which already loves the stranger, would excel more and more, and that there would be internationals that would come to know you, not only through the ESL program that's here, but through reaching out to the international students that are at Wright State and University of Dayton. Lord, would you raise up new people in this congregation who would say yes to you today? Lord, I know that there's some concerns, some fears. There's already so much packed into our lives and our schedule. But would you give grace and faith to open up to one more person? Lord, would you just deposit now in people's lives the courage to step forward and say yes to practicing biblical hospitality? And then would you show up in some special ways so that there'd be many stories to come in the days that follow? Stories like Tayu and Abdul. For ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would be so kind.